You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
What we got here? I like this. Oh, that's why I like this. Metallica. Who's playing Woodlands? Not Metallica, the other good, kind of in their same category. Iron Maiden. The guy who plays in the band and then flies the plane. Gotta hope he didn't have a few beers before the show when you're getting on the plane after. That's pretty cool, though, that he flies their plane. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We got Matt Jordan, the Dynamo General Manager, in studio. We have coming up Arch Bell, ESPN FC writer. He also will be covering the CONCACAF Gold Cup this summer. Arch is 19 years in Austin, so we're going to continue to talk about Austin being given another team. You heard Don Garber's comments about San Antonio getting a little bit pipped here in the end here by Austin FC. So good stuff here on the show tonight. All right, so we bring back on Matt here. We've got another segment with him. Looking at Major League Soccer, when you started as a general manager and how this league is evolving, and it changes every day, and it's hard to keep up with sometimes. I mean, you know, even for people that are fully inundated in it, what are some of the bigger changes now occurring that a general manager has to be concerned with?
Well, I mean, look, I've had to, and we've all had to adjust, you know, with the way, I mean, I think the league is changed more in the last 3 years than it did in the previous, 15. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with, there's more money involved. There's a lot more on the line. You know, the fan focus and just the following has gotten so much bigger. You know, obviously when I was playing and you were calling games back in the day, it was like, who's going to get their own, stadium, right? And I remember I was playing for the Crew and we had our own stadium and we had our own training facility and everyone wanted to be there. But now it's gotten to a totally different level. And I think what you're seeing also is that this has become a league of choice, for some of the most young, talented players that are coming up. And you didn't see that. You just didn't see that. And so now as a general manager, you have to be ready to adjust and say, okay, look, Atlanta United is taking this approach. NYCFC is taking this approach. We need to be successful. What approach are we going to take? And those are the biggest things that I've had to continually run up to ownership, say, look, this is our plan. We have to invest more in our academy. We have to restructure our academy. Why are your USL teams important? Why investment in infrastructure is important? And also player investments as well. And that's been, and I'm really thankful this offseason, we got that backing from ownership for a couple of our players we brought.
All right. So on that, if the academy is going to be invested in, that's one thing, but then you have to believe in these players and they need to play, right? And isn't that why the New York Red Bulls and FC Dallas have gotten a bit of a good lead in this category in the league? Because was there an edict to the coach, Oscar Perea, that said, look, you have to play young guys starting, boom, because that's going to be something that's got to change with you guys, right?
I think that's a delicate balance. That's a really delicate balance because you want your players to earn everything as well. And I've seen it with Dallas. Like I know Dallas like the back of my hand.
I'm not saying giving anybody charity, but what I'm saying is if you're going to spend the money to invest in developing your soccer players, then you're going to have to be good at it and you're going to have to get guys to a level where they're ready to play in Major League Soccer and actually give them opportunity because that's going to be a big change for this organization.
Yeah, I think we've proven that over the last couple of years, Moro, look at Memo, look at, some of the guys we brought up through the RGV pipeline as well. These are guys that they've gotten opportunities to play. And that's the one thing as well with Wilmer, with his background in player development, he's not afraid to give a guy a chance. He's not, and he's proven that. And these guys are going to continue to get more and more chances. But at the same time, you got to earn it as well because you can't have like a...
I guess I'm more focused on the young academy player that's a Houston kid that comes through like a Memo Rodriguez.
Yep.
And then really is getting the opportunity. I get the USL piece.
That's why your USL piece is so important. That's why your USL piece is so important because you have to be ready when your opportunity comes. And, you know, the gap is, you know, we've talked about this a lot. I mean, the gap is very big between your U19s to your first team. I mean, look, you can get an exceptional outlier, right? But even Alphonso Davies, was playing in McAllen, Texas for the Vancouver Whitecaps too. I watched it. You know what I'm saying? That you got to build that.
Yeah, but he was also a 15 or 16 year old.
Listen, and that's why we're now getting those. I mean, that you look. I'd invite you to come out. I mean, we got RGV.
I do want to come
here
out.
In I'll do be, a training I'll be there camp the next 26th, 2 weeks,
right?
Yeah, and we're playing them, you know, as well. And so now we're looking. Even today, we're just going through which, you know, 6-8 of our U19s players are where, you know, Cervania and Coelho and Anderson and all these guys that are going to be integrated into our training camp with the USL team. They've been getting, you know, training time with the first team as well. It's just you got to be ready when your chance comes, and you got to and you got to be given the chance too.
Putting it on the player. Of course, you have to be ready.
No. It's not only on the player; it's on the organization too.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
100%, 100%, and philosophically, that's you know why I've made, you know, I mean, listen, we made drastic changes with the academy over the last 6-8 months that we're already seeing a huge benefit. And you'll see. No,
you made a great hire with Paul Hollick.
Yeah, no, and he's fantastic. We've made a lot of more full-time investments in coaching. I mean, you'll see even with some of the kids that are going some of the colleges that they're going to, they're top colleges. You know, I mean, you'll see here in the next couple of weeks. And so I'm very optimistic with the direction that's going because that's our future. You know, I say that to ownership all the time. That's our future. This city. You know, there's so much opportunity, and that's why we're really focusing on building bridges, you know, continuing to be able to work with everybody. And, you know, because we have a responsibility, you know, to move the game forward here, you know, and that's why even when you talked about Austin, I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, and
they got a responsibility now too.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to have the press conference, another now to put it together and move it forward. What is the makeup of the player down in the Valley? I mean, don't you want that to be mostly younger players sprinkled in with a few veterans to help out?
Yeah.
That balance where you want it?
Yeah. The cycle of that team is a 2-year cycle. And similar to, you know, our strategic plan up here with our three buckets of players, young, talented international players, you know, American players in their prime, and then players that are coming through our system, our academy and our USL setup. You know, when you look at our USL team, you know, what I'm really challenging the guys, and Gerson's been, you know, here with the first team all week, and we're going through this, you know, very in detail, but, you know, look, age 23, you know, 22, 23. Okay. That's what we really got to focus on. 18 to 22, 23 year olds. Okay, get some young foreign talent that we can come in. You know, Camilo Monroy and some of these other really good young players. There's a kid, Camilo, that's a very good player, and a few others. Get them at 18, 19. Let them adapt for a year and then come up. You know, and then look at a few players like an Eric Bird, where he maybe got drafted, didn't work in Philly. You know, but he got a second chance with us, and he's been, you know, taking advantage of it. So, but I really do think it's important that we have filters with how we add players to that team in that 18 to 22, 23 range, sprinkling a couple veterans as well. You know, and also, you know, we got Carlos Small down there, Panamanian national team player, who we think has a good projection.
Could we see him with the first team this year?
You know, listen, if he scores goals, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, he had a really good second half of the season, and he just got called into the Panamanian national team. So, but I do think with your academy kids. I mean, we send our academy kids down. You know, we did a whole training camp down there this last summer, getting and that was a huge part of even Eric McHugh. You know, Eric McHugh went down to RGV this summer, you know, and he worked his tail off. You know, he was in with the first team as well. And then, you know, we just saw his progression, you know, really going quite well. And so I was like, boom, you know, let's 17-year-old kid, let's sign him.
So if his progression's ascending, is that a kid that gets some minutes this year to give him a taste of it?
I think, look, I hope so. I mean, I think what's going to be important with Eric is that, you know, you do need game minutes. That's the key. And he's doing quite well with the DA. So between the DA, our USL team, and getting sprinkled in the right way, you know, with the first team, I think that's going to be a good and important, delicate balance.
Like a kid like him, when would you want to begin to sprinkle him into the first team?
I think, look, you kind of have a roadmap.
If
he's doing well, you know, I think really you look at a kid like that and you have a plan of, hey, you know, you finish the DA season, then you transition to playing with the USL team while you're training every day with the first team. You get, you know, get start, you know, starting games down there. So you hope that, you know, come this time next year, he's pushing for us, you know, pushing to be in the 18 or to start. You know, that's your goal. Maybe it takes one additional year. But I think that, you know, having kind of that roadmap, you know, to try to follow is important.
Real quick, because I know we're up on a break here. Intra-league loans. So I look at a kid like Andrew Carlton in Atlanta, who's going to really have a hard time getting on the field. Talented U.S. Youth International. Do you see more of that in the future? Is that a mechanism you as a general manager might want to use one day?
I was one of the biggest proponents of that at the MLS level. And you know, it's been funny. It hasn't really taken on that much, you know, usually there's like two or three a year. I think you just saw, what's the kid's name? The left back at Salt Lake just went on loan to, Acosta just went on loan to Orlando.
Danilo.
He just went on a loan. And usually, you know, I think you'll see it more. I do think you'll see it more because, you know, maybe there's, but you know, Atlanta's another team. They have their USL team. So that's a tough one.
But I guess it's, if you can get somebody getting MLS minutes, and the question is, if you do a loan within the league, you almost want to be assured he's going to be getting first team minutes because it would be better for you. So it's
a
little tricky.
Well, that's the tough part, right?
It's tricky, right? Nobody's going to give you an assurance.
Can't mandate it. You know, and then usually what happens with those trades is there's usually a kicker or a trigger at the end that you can permanently acquire him. So I saw, what's the kid that was at LAFC this year, the kid that went to Stanford, the right mid. But there's a few of those situations, you know, so I think that there's going to always need to be a little trigger at the end where the team can permanently acquire the player as well.
All right, Matt, great stuff. Great conversation here. Good for the fans of the Houston Dynamo. Thank you for making the effort to come up here. As busy a guy as you are, I know that's not easy.
I promised our academy director I'd say this.
Yeah.
We got soccer starts at home. Tom Byers coming up.
We do. What's the dates on that?
That is
this month or next month?
27th of this month.
27th of this month.
And he, okay. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff he's done in Asia.
I have.
It's pretty
impressive.
The
whole Japan and China.
Yeah,
thing
so he's coming in to, and we're looking, you know, looking to have him spend some time with us.
We're going to get him on the show next week. So there you go.
All right, cool.
How about that for instant gratification? All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Coming up is Arch Bell, ESPN FC writer. Also, CONCACAF Gold Cup coverage this summer. Arch is going to continue the discussion on the new MLS team, Austin FC. A big thank you to Matt Jordan for coming in studio. We'll take a break. It's the Daspit Law Firm break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on again. A big thank you to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, are presenting sponsors here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, and also our good friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They will cover you from everything that's needed right through the sale or lease of your car. And remember, customer service rains down at Advantage BMW Midtown. All right, we go to Austin, Texas. He is Arch Bell. Arch, a very good writer for ESPN FC, also covers a lot of CONCACAF. You know his name. He joins us now. Arch, is everything weird in Austin right now?
Still keeping things weird. After all these years and all these times, things are still, you know, very strange and weird down here in Austin.
Nothing weird about the announcement, though. Tremendous excitement, tremendous passion. 27th team in Major League Soccer. It's Austin FC. It's going to create a wonderful triangle with FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo. Just some of your initial thoughts on the announcement and all the energy that was there on 6th Street.
Yeah, I was really taken by the packed crowd there at the bar at the Rustic Tap where the announcement was made, and just the overall energy at the event. And you know, this has been building up for a while, and I think the what we saw the other day was just kind of the you know, the crowning there of Austin finally getting this MLS team in the door and official. And I've been impressed, and I think the club is doing a good job so far, and you know, getting the name out. I mean, you know, you see little things like a building in downtown lit up in the color green to match the team's color, and in honor and tribute of the new team. So there's definitely a good solid buzz around the city.
All right. The reality is they have 2 years to prepare for this. So this is pretty good. Obviously the stadium is going to be an issue, getting that up and running and built. What are some of the initial things you're hearing out of Austin FC when it comes to a stadium? Lots of bells and whistles, that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have all the bells and whistles that we see with a lot of the modern day soccer stadiums. You know, what we've seen with LAFC, the one in San Jose. So I think you're going to be seeing all that. Certainly the ventilation of the stadium will be important. You know, having some sort of airflow, because on the hot summer days, as Houston soccer fans know, it can be it's nice to have a breeze going through a stadium so people aren't too hot. But there are also going to be some challenges as well with some of the parking and things like that. But I think overall you're going to see a well built, state of the art stadium, and matching the ambitions of the city that we've seen in downtown construction the last couple of years.
He's Arch Bell, ESPN FC, 19-year resident of Austin, Texas. We all love Austin for its music and energy around UTA athletics and the university. So how does a pro soccer team and the first professional team in this market, how does it kind of gather in, we heard all the latchkey words and all the keywords in millennials and, fresh corporate dollars out there and exciting companies and the whole side of Austin, which is music and that pride that is keeping Austin weird. What do you think we see if we look into the crystal ball of sort of how this team establishes itself and makes it unique to its market like other teams around MLS do?
Yeah, I think the big thing is going to be to with the marketing and keeping the fans make sure that they're coming back, that their experience doesn't end with just one game. And what's so interesting about Austin is that the city has grown so much, especially in the last 10 to 15 years, and there's now 2 million people in the Austin metropolitan area. And so many of these people are from other parts of the country. I can remember when I moved to Austin 19 years ago, it was mostly people from other parts of Texas. Now you're talking about from people from both coasts and all around. And Austin FC can be the thing that all these new arrivals to the city can latch onto. I mean, there's a lot of people living in the city that have absolutely no connection to the University of Texas. And I think that's a gap that can be filled by Austin FC, assuming they're up to the task.
Arch Bell joining us, ESPN FC and CONCACAF. Now, you're going to be covering CONCACAF this summer, right? The Gold Cup?
Yeah, doing some Gold Cup action, going across the country and checking out the tournament.
Very, very good. We look forward to your coverage of that. All right, so let's get back. Austin, about maybe 30-35% Hispanic. I've already seen some of the local commentators up there saying, well, you need a Mexican national team player. I think that's part of the equation. That's not the only part of the equation. What else to engage the Hispanic audience, which, that's been a challenge even down here in a big city like Houston that's got 6.5 million in the metro area.
Yeah, and I think that's you're going to have to see a big drive, a big effort by the club and by, club allies, club proponents to market and to work themselves into the Hispanic community, into the Mexican community here in town. One guy who, and I mentioned in my ESPN piece, Sergio Tristan, who started Pancho Villa's Army, the big nationwide supporters group for the Mexican national team in the U.S. A guy like that, I think, is a good guy for the club to have and to be able to leverage and, be able to mobilize and form those groups. So, Hispanic fans do feel like, they can be a part of that club and their children, get the kids engaged and get the kids to become fans of the team. And then when you have that, then you can see some returning business rather than just, people showing up when Carlos Vela or when Giovanni Dos Santos is in town. That's the thing they just absolutely have to avoid. It really has to be a concerted effort to uh, to make the Hispanic community in Austin really feel like it's their team, and to have those people who, you know, ordinarily on a Saturday evening might be staying home to watch Club America or Chivas or whatever, you know, maybe they will instead go out and take their kids to an Austin FC game.
He's Arch Bell joining us. He's a writer for ESPN FC and also will be covering the CONCACAF Gold Cup this summer. All right, one of the keys for me is that Precourt Enterprises and the ownership group make sure that they hire some locals. Now, it's got to be the best locals in various positions in this organization that know that market, that know the right people. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think from what I understand, there is some communication, or I think there's already an existing relationship between the team and LatinWorks, which is a local, you know, Hispanic-based advertising agency. So I think that's a good move. And yes, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, there's got to be a deep local flavor to the team. So you're talking about, you know, local vendors at the stadium, like Amy's Ice Cream or El Arroyo Tex-Mex or Marty's Tex-Mex, you know, things like that, you know, food trucks all around the stadium. That type of local flavor, I think, is imperative, because if there's one thing, if there's anything that Austinites like, it's being able to, you know, celebrate Austin and you know, talk about how great the city is. And so I think if the club is able to incorporate, you know, those elements and bring, you know, local celebrities or local characters or have that strong local tie, that's absolutely something that they have to do.
Well, any excuse I can get, I come up to Austin. I've been known to be looking at you know, concert venues and see something on a Friday afternoon, and then get in the car and just drive up there and take a hotel and go to the concert. And I call the UT women's soccer team that Angela Kelly runs.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely love Austin. There is a tremendous uniqueness to it. I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. So two pieces here real quick. The Austin Bold is a USL team out of COTA, the Circuit of the Americas racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Do we eventually see that morphing into potentially being the USL affiliate or side of Austin FC?
You know, honestly, no, because I think there, at this point, there has been enough acrimony between Austin Bold and Austin FC that I would be really surprised to see any type of MLS / USL, you know, reserve team relationship foster at this point. Bobby Epstein is, you know, he's made pretty clear that his objective is to have the Austin Bold succeed. So I would be surprised if we see anything right now. Now, maybe in 2 years' time, if the Austin Bold encounter financial difficulties, maybe that will change. But I think in the interim, you know, the Austin Bold they're really going hard on marketing themselves as you know, an Austin's, you know, professional soccer team that's ready to start playing in 2019. They've signed a couple local players like Chris Kierpak, who was part of the Austin Aztecs, and Sonny Guadarrama, who spent years playing in the Mexican League and who's a native Austinite, and mm-hmm. he's on the team as well. So, you know, Bobby Epstein and the Austin Bowl, they're going hard as well with, like, hey, we're really Austin's true team. We are going as local as we can.
It's going to be a difficult task, though, once Major League Soccer comes here, and they're out of COTA as well, which is a little bit different, for sure. And by the way, Tierpak played here in Houston for Houston Baptist University. So
that's right, he sure did. Absolutely, yeah.
Lone Star Soccer Club, that is a huge youth soccer club. Is that a relationship you see? I'm sure somebody's going to approach them about some sort of affiliation and connection based on the fact that they have a connection to so many youth players in the Austin area.
Yeah, I mean, Lone Star is just a monster, right? I mean, it's they are absolutely everywhere in the Central Texas area. And that I see is a relationship that I think will definitely, you know, take hold. And I think there's a lot of synergy between the two. And I do think that Austin FC will dip into the Lone Star SC youth development and youth talent pool and be able to try to leverage that as much as possible.
Last question. We'll let you go, Arch, because I know you're at your daughter's violin session, and you know, who knows, maybe she's going to be playing the national anthem the first time Austin FC goes out on the field. Let's hope so. And if so, I'm going to be there. Let me just ask you quickly about, okay, after we cut through the haze of all this, the excitement, all the possibilities, the pros and cons, are you convinced with the Austin market?
To be honest, Glenn, I still have some reservations. I think the heat is going to pose a huge problem. I mean, I've been down in Houston for plenty of games in August, and it's really hot. And I think that's something that could really keep people away from going to games. I think the parking situation, the logistics situation could also pose some challenges. There's only 1,000 on-site parking spots. So where exactly are people going to park? How are they going to get to games? What are those bottlenecks going to do? I think it's really important that the team has worked with the city to solve that issue. If they just let the city do it, then that's a bad move. So there are some challenges. And then, Austin soccer history at the USL level is one that, the Austin Aztecs, they were here and then they left for Orlando. And then Austin Aztecs 2.0 failed to succeed. So, Austin's track record for soccer is not great, but it's never been at the MLS. So that's the big unknown. But, will they be able to attract those season ticket holders, like families, like a family of four? I think that's going to be important. So all of those factors, I think there are some things that give me pause. But, going back to what we were talking about earlier with that big unknown, the new arrivals to Austin, there are just so many that really, if they can just tap into that and they can mine that pool of fans, then I think they can make this work. But it's the club has a big effort underway, or a big job to do. And I think it is fortunate that they have these 2 years to be able to start laying that foundation.
Arch Bell, you're a great man. Thanks for jumping in here. Let's let you get back to your daughter and be the father that you are. I don't ever want to get between a father and their daughter. So thank you so much for coming on, Arch. Keep up the great work. It was a pleasure seeing you up in Austin on Tuesday.
Glenn, thank you so much. And a big hello to everybody there in Houston. I'll be seeing y'all soon.
You got it. That's Arch Bell, ESPN FC. Also, we'll be covering the CONCACAF Gold Cup this summer. Write some wonderful pieces. You can catch the one about Austin FC after the announcement on Tuesday. Let's take a break again. A reminder here for the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are our presenting sponsor. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Listen, they keep soccer on the air. All these sponsors that you hear on this show, the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW Midtown, Liberty Kitchen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, all of these companies, Kings Court, which, by the way, I'm going to be down at Kings Court this Saturday for both the Manchester United game and the Chelsea game. We're going to be selling Soccer Matters t-shirts and bracelets. Percentage of these sales will go to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, a 501c charity. So if you've been asking about getting a t-shirt, come on down. We're going to have a whole bunch of them, and we'll get them out. We got men's and ladies' sizes. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
We wrap it up here tonight with a big one here. First, a word for Advantage BMW. Now, my friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown, well, I've owned from them. Advantage BMW in Midtown is a great place to go in and get that BMW you've always wanted. I love the drive of the BMW. After all, it's an ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series. I love it. But the thing that I really love down there at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get in there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. They love soccer. They love football. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. And also, the place to be, and we're going to be there this Saturday, is in Edo. It's the Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kings Court has 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. Covers all the leagues from around the world. We're going to be down there selling Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 t-shirts. All the supporters groups will be there. The Bayou City Blues, Houston Red Army. So we're looking forward to getting down to the Kings Court this weekend. Moving a few of those t-shirts that you can proudly wear, supporting your sport, the game that you love, plus there is a charitable aspect to it. King's Court, rooftop deck is spectacular, great view of the stadium, British and Indian pub-style cuisine is a winner down there. You're going to see me having some curry or chicken dishes there. Get in there, say hello to Jay and Megan, kingscourthouston.com. Caught up earlier in the week with former Houston Dynamo Ricardo Clark. We also know that Ricardo played in the World Cup for the United States, re-signed with the Columbus Crew. Here's my interview with Ricardo Clark. Well, Ricardo, you know, I'm driving to the press conference at Energy Stadium about World Cup 2026 in Houston, Texas. I come up to a light, and who do I see? Ricardo Clark on the corner. Welcome back to Houston, even though it's only for a short amount of time. Great to see you. Let's start off with this. Save the Crew, the fan base, inspirational. How difficult was it for you as players to go through all that uncertainty around the Crew?
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't say it was difficult. It was a super interesting situation, especially for me personally, being new to the whole environment and obviously to the club and all that, and just knowing that so much was up in the air at the end of the year. You know, we had obviously the potential club movement to Austin. We had, you know, the potential move by the coach to the national team. So it was an interesting season. But you know, ever since I was there, I enjoyed every moment of it. You know, the whole situation with the club potentially moving actually brought more attention and more of the fan base together. And it was really cool to see the city get behind and rally behind the club and keeping the team there. It was really inspirational because the club has done so much and done so well. And just to know that so much of the fan base actually cares was super cool. And their efforts really helped. And it was a really cool experience just to interact with the fans and the community in that way.
So how did you guys keep it together? Obviously, Greg Berhalter has to be a good leader, because when you have all these things swirling around a team, it's easy for people to get distracted, think about their own futures. How is it kept together? How much of it was from the players? How much was it from the manager? And then obviously the fan base was galvanizing you as well.
Yeah, to be fair, Greg did a really good job of just keeping everything professional. He would give us updates occasionally on the status of things going on. And to be honest, for much of the year, for at least 3/4 of the year, you know, we had no clue what was going on. I mean, his updates were basically, you know, we're basically in the same situation. We don't know what's happening, but we're just going to keep it business as usual. And he did a good job of kind of instilling that mentality into the group and just keeping everybody focused and on board and kind of blocking out the noise of what's going to happen at the end of the season. So, you know, Greg's good at keeping the group together like that. And that was our mentality. We just controlled what we could control and left everything else by the wayside. And you know, I think, you know, majority of the players wanted the team to be there. But, you know, we could only do so much in our control. So that was, like I said, that was our mentality. That's how we kept it throughout most of the year. And at the end of the day, it worked out.
Well, at the end of the day also, it's a situation you've been through before, right? With San Jose coming to Houston back in those days, you guys didn't really know what you were going to encounter down here. And then the rest is history. So it's pretty interesting, some of the hurdles and the things you've had with teams in your history. In my case, in the 80s, it was teams folding and just basically going away because nobody could afford to keep them afloat. Back to Greg Berhalter. What is the U.S. national team getting with him? And take me into his mentality and my listeners into his mentality a little bit. And tactician, what type of manager he is?
Yeah, that's a good question. So,
Yeah, first of all, I knew Greg, obviously, you know, in the soccer world, it's a small soccer community. And I think I first made personal contact with him a long time ago when I was playing in Europe. And he was coaching with Hammarby, and he was trying to recruit me to come and play there. Eventually, you know, things didn't work out, but we kept in touch. And he you know, reached out to me in this past offseason when I was a free agent. We made something happen with the contract, and I joined the team. But so that this was my first time actually being a player under him, even though I'd known him for a couple years. And it was an awesome experience being with him, you know, being with the Dynamo for so long and, you know, being around a certain type of culture and a certain type of play and a group of people. It was a blessing to get outside that comfort zone and just experience something different and get a different perspective on things. Greg is a very detailed individual, especially when it comes to his job. He's an extremely hard worker. He would show up for work. He would be the first person in the locker room, first person in the office. He would show up there about 6:30 in the morning, and would be the last person to leave. I don't know, six in the afternoon, maybe later. So he put the work in, and it showed. It showed through the organization, how everything was run, which was super on point. It showed through the results of the team. He was very consistent with success with the team. Ever since he'd been there, I think they made the playoffs maybe every year he'd been there except for one. And, you know, it showed in what he got out of his players. You know, he had a playing style that we stuck to and was successful. And he brought players in, young players, older players, and introduced them to his system and was successful in making those players reach their potentials within those systems. I can say at 35 years old, I was actually able to learn a lot and, in my opinion, become a better player and more aware player because I was a player under him. So, like I said, at the end of the day, it was a blessing going to Columbus and just being able to experience playing under a good coach like that.
Columbus Crew midfielder Ricardo Clark joining us here on ESPN 97.5, also played in the World Cup for the United States and, of course, a big part of Houston soccer history down here with the Houston Dynamo. That's interesting you say that your career can stretch as an older player. Is that something you didn't think was possible? Because I've had Michael Parkhurst on this show, and he said the same thing about Tata Martino and his ability to stretch him as a defender now. At an older age, and a lot of that was based on their playing style as well, and the fact that he had to do some things differently with a very aggressive Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, at 35 years old, you know, my body up to this point, knock on wood, still feels very good, and I feel like I don't have to compensate too much. In regards to my movements, in regards to my athletic ability on the field, you know, that may change in a couple of years. Who knows? But I do know that, you know, being under Greg, I did become a lot more aware on the field in regards to my positioning, in regards to, you know, tactics. You know, we thrive on tactics, and it's embedded in us and how he wants to play and different principles of the game that I've never really learned, to be honest, throughout my career, to that level.
you know, in which he instilled upon us. So it was really good to be in that environment, like I said before. But, you know, at 35, I think I can bring qualities of a veteran leadership in regards to how I lead by example. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was just a perfect mix of coaching and of things I bring to the table to make me a better player and just help me learn and further my career.
Rico, is there a small example you can give of the positional thing that you were talking about with Greg Berhalter and how maybe that changed? Is there an example you can give the listeners?
Yes. I mean, I could name a couple of things, but, you know, there's just little details. Like I said, he's a very detailed guy. One thing he stressed to me in his tactics and his system is spacing with other players. You know, a lot of the times in games and in this different systems you play in, you know, everybody wants to kind of rush to the ball to try to get the ball. But his system thrived in players actually keeping their space and playing within their position. That was just one thing. Another thing was always looking to play forward, always looking to break lines. You know, he would formulate practices to get that out of his players. And he would formulate drills to get that out of individual players, especially within the midfield and the defense. And just little things like that, with being very detail oriented, he was able to get a lot out of me, and I was able to learn so much.
So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Before we go, I want to remind you again: Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we'll be down at the King's Court in Edo. Get down there, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. We're going to be watching the Manchester United game with the Houston Red Army. And then it's on to the Bayou City Blues, the Chelsea supporters group. We're going to have Soccer Matters t-shirts down there and bracelets. Come on down. A percentage of the sales will go to the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. We've got gray, we've got blue, and we've got them in sizes for both men and ladies. Really cool bracelets with steel and differing types of beads and things. So come on down, King's Court, this Saturday. We'll be there at 9 a.m. Looking forward to seeing all the great soccer fans of Houston. A big thank you tonight to Michael Hernandez, producer, to Victor Ariza of Soccer Matters, and also Michael Carroll, who's helped us out over the last couple of weeks with a bunch of very important interviews, including the interview we did with Daryl Morey and Kiki Struna of the Houston Dynamo. So a big thank you to Michael for letting me bust in during the day and interview Kiki Struna over in Slovenia. That'll do it tonight. And there's Michael Carroll in the background. Remember, he used to be the producer. He was my first guy here until he got too big for everybody. So a big thanks to Michael as well. And all of you for listening in. Again, the podcast at podcastarena.com. Remember, soccer matters.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.